night's Game 2 loss in Oklahoma City. In an episode on his Mind the Game podcast with Steve Nash, Lakers forward LeBron James says he hasn't thought much about whether he will play next season or retire. LeBron will be a free agent, and in the pod said he's taking his time with making a decision, but added that winning would be the most important thing. James also weighed in on being swept out of the Western semis, saying OKC had just too much talent. Game 1 on the ice, Eastern Conference Finals, Canadiens and Hurricanes, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Day Baseball, Guardians lead the Tigers 2-0 in the 7th, while the Pirates have a 5-1 lead on the Cardinals in the 7th inning. Lions sign linebacker Jack Campbell to a 4-year extension. Brooks Koepka leads the Byron Nelson at 8 under par.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the Department of Justice is intensifying its investigation into possible antitrust violations in the beef packing industry, prompting renewed calls from ranching groups for greater competition and market transparency. Federal officials say investigators are examining whether consolidation among the nation's largest meat packers contributed to inflated beef prices for consumers and reduced prices paid to cattle producers. The four largest beef processors control roughly 85% of the fed cattle market. A federal judge in California has denied a request by the United Farm Workers to temporarily block the Trump administration's revised wage rule for ag workers under the H-2A visa program. The case challenges the Labor Department's interim adverse effect wage raid methodology. The UFW argues the rule could reduce wages and harm workers. The judge ruled the plaintiffs failed to demonstrate irreparable harm, saying claims of future wage losses and hardships are largely speculative. Well, record volumes of avocados moved through the U.S. market ahead of Cinco de Mayo this year, driven by strong supplies from Mexico and California and aggressive retail promotions. Calavo growers say shipments likely reached an all-time high as demand remains strong. Fresh Plaza reports supplies have expanded compared with last year when higher inventories push prices higher. This year's heavier volume has helped keep prices more affordable for retailers and consumers.
Horn flies can take a bite out of your cattle's performance. These pests feed on cattle up to 30 times a day, stressing animals and cutting into profits. Fight back. SmartLick Supplements low moisture blocks available with Altacid or Clarify help break the horn fly life cycle. Less fly pressure means cattle can spend more time grazing and growing. Take control of fly problems this season. Visit SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com to find your dealer.
Impressions. On social media, they're peddled for pennies on platforms like Facebook that can be biased, even censored. So what are you really getting for your advertising dollar? I invite you to join the Southeast Regional Ag News Radio program, where our impressions are priceless, where it's impossible to put a value on information that empowers farmers and ranchers. If you're a company that values the impression you have within our ag community, support this radio station by sponsoring the Southeast Regional Ag News program.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varley, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks turning modestly higher in afternoon trading on renewed hopes of peace progress in the Middle East. Oil prices are moderating with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $98 a barrel. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are mixed. However, shares of NVIDIA are down 1% despite the AI darling delivering a blockbuster earnings report, including a strong forecast and boosting its dividend. And quantum computing stocks are jumping with IBM leading the charge after the Commerce Department confirmed its plans to award grants grants to nearly a dozen companies to boost the industry. IBM says it will create a new standalone company, styling it as America's first pure-play quantum foundry. IBM and the Commerce Department will each contribute $1 billion worth of cash into the venture. IBM stock is up 11%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
We're only 9 years away from 1984, and now there's a federal proposal to disarm law-abiding citizens in many parts of the country. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
I've been talking recently about the ongoing efforts by well-meaning people to limit or even abolish the right of American citizens to own guns. These people like to point out that most murders are perpetrated with guns, and that most crimes of violence involve the use of handguns, and that many persons are accidentally shot each year. Therefore, they say, outlaw guns and there will be less crime, fewer killings, and fewer accidental deaths. I disagree. Even if all they say is true, and I doubt that it is, I disagree. Now, let me tell you why. Yes, I believe a person has a right to own a means of protecting himself against criminals, but that's not my main reason for disagreeing. And yes, I believe that criminals would get guns anyway, thus leaving the average citizen even more at their mercy than he is today. But that, too, isn't my main reason for disagreeing. Let's go back for a minute to the Constitution. We all know that it clearly specifies that you and I have the right to bear arms, and that that right cannot be infringed. An entire amendment deals with this right. The amendment is simple. It reads that, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, unquote. Underline, if you will, the word free when you read the Second Amendment. The Founding Fathers obviously were concerned about preserving freedom. They believed that arms in the hands of the people would secure freedom. They felt that a militia should be trained for just that purpose. Now, we've neglected to keep a well-trained militia, but that fact alone is not reason to also give up the right to bear arms. Interestingly, the Founding Fathers don't specify that the state is necessarily endangered from the outside, although that probably remained one of their concerns. But if one looks at the times during which the amendment was written, and at the context of the other 9 of those first 10 amendments, it becomes apparent that what they really feared was the possibility that government might take away the freedoms of the citizens in their newly created free state. Each of those first 10 amendments guarantees a freedom. The Second Amendment guarantees the right of the citizen to protect those other freedoms. Take away the arms of the citizen, and where is his defense against not only criminals, but also against the possible despotism of his government? In police states, they take away the citizen's arms first. This ensures the perpetuation of the state's power and the ability of the police to deal with dissenters as well as criminals. I believe that those who run our federal, state, and local governments today, as well as those who advocate disarming the people, have no sinister motives. But history tells us this won't always be the case. So isn't it better for the people to own arms than for them to risk enslavement by evil or power-hungry men or nations? The Founding Fathers thought so. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And as many of you know, we're right in the throes of election season. And always, the last two or three weeks are drama-filled. We have one thing after another coming out. So, for example, in the clerk recorder's race, we had Elaine Kano's been accused one time already of using public resources on her campaign. Then she put missteps in the ballot. Another person in that race is up on criminal charges. You couldn't make this stuff up for a movie. Then we have the race against Jimmy Paulding and Jim Paulding and Adam Verdin. And in that race, again, you also have quite a bit of drama. You have the water issue in Arroyo Grande, with people worried about that. You also have you had the argument that Jimmy was involved in the battery storage and hit it. And I'm going to have a story coming out later today. I tried to get it finished before I came on the air. I could not. There are emails that show that Jimmy Paulding created a campaign newsletter that he did to fight against when he ran against Lynn Compton. He is still using it. When he sends it out to people, he says it's part of his campaign, paid for by his campaign. But then inside emails show him sending it over to Diodati. I want to get this out. Can you do some work on it? Diodati then goes and edits. This is going to take a little bit longer. I need more time on it. Three other county employees are involved in helping him put out newsletter to help his campaign. There are laws against using government resources at all. That means a government employee that's on the clock. That means the government email system. That means sending out having government employees on the job edit your work and then mail it out for you. That is not what the government is supposed to do. And then there's another issue with the clerk recorder. There is, on some of the ballots, there is basically an advertisement for the clerk recorder's office in the ballot information booklet. Voter information guide has basically an advertisement for Kano's office. I don't know, but I've had a couple attorneys say this is questionable. They want it looked into. Again, what is going on with the county? Why is the county administrator allowing this to happen? I have never seen this many allegations of using public resources for government officials' campaigns since I have been a reporter. And I can tell you I'm not a spring chicken. So we have that coming out, and that will be coming out later today. You can read the emails Jimmy sent Diodati asking him to work on it. You can see the emails Diodati sent him back. I need a little bit more time. Jimmy wants to get it out quickly, but Diodati says it needs work. Really, Diodati, that's your job is to help him? So today I have on the show Eric Gorm. We're doing the show together. We're going to start for the first half hour talking about just all the election wildness that's going on right now. I'm going to start with, we're going to start with talking about all the issues going on between Michael Aaron Woody and Jim D'Antona. There's a great opinion piece that Eric Gorm sent in. It's called Slow County Partisan Politics in a Nonpartisan Race. He goes over multiple items in this. This isn't a one allegation piece. This is a well paid out, very comprehensive look at some of the partisanship in these races that is going on right now. We're going to talk for the first half hour on the different races, on all this drama. And then we're going to do at the top of the hour, when we come back from the top of the hour break, we're doing a vote 'em off the island. We're going to have all the candidates for supervisor and the three candidates for clerk recorder. When you call in, we're going to ask you why you want to vote him off the island. We're going to have D'Antona, Woody, Paulding, Verdin, Kano, Powell, and Rosso. You're going to have your choice. Think about it before you call in, because there's you don't get two votes. You only get one vote. You got to pick one person. Eric, can you tell us a little bit what motivated you to do this piece? And can you bring this piece up a little bit?
Yeah, I think for me, I've been watching that race, and I've been honestly trying to be more interested in District 4, but District 2 is somewhat interesting. From the beginning, we've seen a lot of weird things happening. You know, Bruce Gibson decided to hire his wife and D'Antona to be a legislative assistant. Of course, we know there's a big uproar on that. And he ended up not hiring his wife, but then hiring D'Antona, which to me is just, it was just wrong. It's just, you're basically giving him an unfair lift up. I mean, this is a man that probably doesn't need it. And, you know, the most interesting part of this race that I didn't put in there, because this is kind of about Jim D'Antona and his history in the last little bit, going back from L.A. when he with the chief of staff to someone, you know, what was it, the mayor? I can't remember what I did the research, but now my head's a little, but you know, there's been a long history of him kind of going into corrupt systems. I look at Bruce Gibson as a corrupt supervisor to some degree, at least kind of cheating the system. And I don't think the man's ran. It's just hard to see the train wreck that's happening over there. It's almost like the Hillary Clinton campaign where, he's just going to get knighted, I think he feels like, and he doesn't need to run in this race. So it's interesting to watch. And then it's interesting to watch Jimmy out there, or not Jimmy, but Woody out there just kind of grinding and reaching out to people. I think it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. But for me, I listened to D'Antona on another radio station, and if there is such a thing, and it was kind of interesting. It was it wasn't him, it was his supporters calling in, and it doesn't seem like they look at any of this stuff. It's all out there, the platforms are out there, and they call in and they talk about things that Woody supports, but the D'Antona, if you actually look at his platform, doesn't. So the double talk on that campaign, and those are all people that they asked to call in. I mean, those aren't the, it's not like a lot of places where just Joe Blow's calling in. When this time of year, you get a lot of people calling in because they're asked to and they're supporting a candidate.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
I'm supporting Woody because he's helping Cayugas open our bridge up again.
Can you do me a favor and call in after 1 o'clock? We're going to do the phone calls for Vote 'em Off the Island after 1 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye.
So I think basically with everything that goes on, I wanted to do something that was somewhat that just shows what D'Antona has been about. Not just, oh, here's the most recent scandal, or here's the most, like, let's look at the track record, because I think what I heard was those callers calling in and really just basically taking Woody's position and saying it was D'Antona's. And I remember just thinking, do they not look at what these guys have on their websites? It's the complete opposite. And do they not look at what this man's done? So that was kind of my inspiration, just to say, okay, here's what it is. This is
I'm going to go over your opinion piece by piece and have you comment on everything. But I first want to bring up, you already brought up the fact that he got put in as the supervisor, as Bruce Gibson's person. And I want to tell you what his, I have his statement of candidate board of supervisor for District 2 statement. So first of all, his occupation, he puts down, I'm chief of staff for District 2 Slo County Supervisor. So right off the bat, he's basically saying I'm almost like an incumbent. Then he goes, those values are the... Right away, he says our economy, way of life. In the second sentence, it says he's going to defend our county against big oil. And then he goes in to say, as chief of staff for the current second district supervisor, as former president and CEO of our regional chamber of commerce, I've worked to create jobs and affordable housing. So, and that he's proud to work with local unions. So right off the bat, he is really promoting his inside. But let's start off.
I think, too, just to point something out, there is no chief of staff. He's an administrative assistant for Bruce Gibson. That's the actual title of the job. It's not chief of staff.
They changed it. I think Bruce Gibson had to change.
He changed it just for his person.
I don't remember why, but somebody told me they voted to change it.
Who's the staff he's chief of? There is no staff.
I know. So you started with... In your thing, you started with talking about the cattlemen and the issue with the pack. And there was a pack. Somebody contacted several members of the Slo County Cattlemen's Association. It's a political action committee for them. And without getting voter approval of the group, they gave him a $2,500 donation. Okay, Eric, tell us what you put in your article.
Well, it was interesting because, it looked like it didn't go to the full board. The board started researching who this man was. And I think what really stood out, and I talked to the chair yesterday just to make sure I was getting my story straight, was the fact that the reason they pulled it. They pulled it because of a stance on, it wasn't so much illegal immigration, it was the ICE thing. Everybody, I think, remembers a while back, there was the videos of the sheriff's department, and basically you had the big crowds going in there every day trying to disrupt the ICE agents if they needed to come in and arrest somebody or whatever it was. And a lot of people are upset. You know, I think what happened is you had a lot of people over there acting very immature and out of control, and then they're like, how dare you put a video of us out there acting immature and out of control, you know, and you're trying to embarrass us. And it's like, they just showed your behavior at the court. Well, then D'Antona, or not at the court.
And Bruce Gibson brought that up during a supervisor meeting, chastising the sheriff for putting up that embarrassing video. It was true.
And yeah, it was true. And he was basically saying, please don't come here and do this. You know what I mean? And this is ridiculous. And, you know, D'Antona went on to the defensive. And I think, you know, realistically, just to bring it all back, part of what inspired this whole thing was, which will be coming up soon enough, is just his, it doesn't look like he has the ability to work with the other side. And this is just one of the things that I was leading up to get to that point. He doesn't want to work with conservatives.
This has become very political. D'Antona has two main arguments. If you read his website, he's anti-ICE, wants ICE out of the 805, and he is anti-big oil, but we have no big oil.
We have no big oil, and he sure likes to make money from it. But beyond that, you know.
And explain that. Well, first, go ahead and talk about the issue with big oil, and Cal Coast News did an article on this.
Right. So, you know, one of his platforms had been wind energy, kind of supporting, and he's kind of waffled on the battery storage. But the thing is you have to look at who he wants to represent. District 2, that is the majority of the northern coast. It's Los Osos down to the Monterey County line with a small portion around Cal Poly mixed into it, so San Luis Obispo. But realistically, to me, This is the coastal. You're representing the coast. The coast has overwhelmingly said they do not want wind energy and they do not want battery storage there. So you have a man basically pushing that. And then in the same right saying, you know, we need all of this. But he's kind of, you know, doesn't mind profiting. His portfolio has a lot of oil in it, et cetera. It's on his 700s. So it's interesting, just the double-edged sword there. And I know that he's had help even from Republicans on that side that are pushing wind energy. We have people in this county, et cetera, and in the state that, you know, they work for wind energy and they want wind energy. So he has a little... It seems to me, and I kind of mentioned this, if you look who's supporting him, even if it's the Republicans that are doing it behind closed doors, it's all for gain. It's not because we want this guy. It's because we want wind energy. We want X, Y, and Z. And, you know, literally, for the most part, his support doesn't come from this county. So, like, great. You got all this support and people that endorsed you. They don't live here.
And every 2 years, it's either offshore oil or it's fracking by a certain group of political consultants who are helping him with his campaign. And he is claiming, we're going to have offshore oil if you don't support me. He's not from here. He's from Los Angeles. In 1986, we passed Measure A. It does not allow onshore oil infrastructure for offshore oil. In 1988, two oil companies, unless the voters say it's okay for your oil company. So in 1988, two oil companies spent a ton of money trying to get the voters to approve them to have offshore oil, the onshore infrastructure. They lost. They spent a ton of money at that time, and they lost. And they did not get it approved. Without a vote of the people, it's not going to happen. It's not because somebody is protecting us from it. We don't have it because we have a measure that was voter passed in 1986 and making this the big thing in your thing, in your campaign, that I'm not going to let offshore oil. It's not even an issue.
No, and I remember it comes up about every 2 years when there's a supervisor election, and you usually have a Democrat saying, we need to pass the resolution here. And it's like, I remember Debbie Arnold that got chastised for this because it's like, what? Why do we need a resolution? I'm not voting for a resolution. We already don't admit it. Like, we can't have it here. So why do we every 2 years during an election cycle need to pass a resolution to something that can't happen?
Yeah. And it costs money. It costs money and time. You have to get staff to write the resolution. You have to have everybody there in a board of supervisors meeting discussing it. It is just smoke and mirrors. It's not a true issue in this county. And it needs to start being pointed out every time they bring it up. It's not going to happen. We're not at fear of it happening, and knock it off.
Right. And I think, just to go back to the cattleman's thing, the only reason I put the cattleman in this, because it was the one nonpartisan group that endorsed him, and he lost it very early on in the race.
They pulled his endorsements because of his attacks on...
He put a video out on his Facebook page attacking Ian Parkinson and ICE here locally. And that wasn't somebody they wanted to endorse. But he did get their money, so...
and more recently, let's talk about the attack on Dan Dow. So there's a debate. And tell them a little bit about... There was a debate in Cayucas. Right. Cayucas is one of the communities in there. But their community, what they care about is water and sewer.
Exactly.
They honestly aren't saying we don't... And they don't... Most people there don't want offshore oil or battery storage either. But those are their issues.
Right.
And will you tell us what the question was and how they responded?
Well, yeah, the question was basically about working with across the aisle. Dan Dow came up, and D'Antona's response was basically, I don't see us getting along. You know, he's a conservative. But then he just kept doubling down throughout his 1 minute. You know, I think they had a minute and 30 seconds to answer. He just doubled down after doubled down. And actually, towards the end, you had a very clear picture that he does not like our DA, but I don't care if you like him or not. You work together. I don't care if Dan likes, you know, I mean, Dan Dow likes Bruce Gibson, they work together. You have a working relationship. And if you look at Woody's answer, it was pretty much like he was flabbergasted, had this crazy look like, what? Did this guy really just say this? He's like, of course, you're going to work with whoever's in that position, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, etc. Our job as representing our constituents is to work with the powers that be, not work against them.
And for years, Bruce Gibson and others have been very anti-Dandow. They've really stopped a lot of funding for that department. They've really been against him. And part of it is he wanted people that blocked the highways with Black Lives Matter charged. He also wants criminal illegal immigrants who commit crimes in our community. He wants them arrested and then deported. And he supports ICE. The bulk of citizens in the U.S. support ICE removing criminal immigrants. D'Antona wants ICE out of the 805. We're gonna take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Eric Gorham.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
The power of the primary. Did you know most elections are decided before the general election ever happens? It's called the primary, and turnout is often incredibly low. That means a small group of voters ends up choosing the candidates who represent everyone else. If you believe in limited government, strong families, and common sense leadership, your voice matters most right now. Don't sit this one out. Vote in the primary, because if you don't choose the candidate, someone else will. Ad paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
The California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles is proud to present Willie Nelson and Family. July 22nd, the California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles. New album, Dream Chaser, coming May 29th. Tickets on sale Friday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. at MidStateFair.com and Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Willie Nelson and Family live.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Bailey. I have Eric Gorham on the show with me today. We are talking about politics in this first half hour, and then after the top of the hour, we're going to have vote a candidate off the island. We have all four candidates for the Board of Supervisors and the three candidates for County Clerk Recorder. You can explain why you have an issue with them, what you don't like about them, and why you want them to vote them off the island after 1 o'clock. So wait till 1 o'clock and then give us a call. And right now we're just talking about all the drama. And then there was drama in the Board of Supervisors. So as many of you know, the county's been having some financial trouble and they've been asking certain departments to cut more than others. So Dan Dow's prosecutor cut over $3 million over several years and cut a number of positions. Meanwhile, the state has put new mandates on regarding investigations and evidence. And now that everybody's wearing body cams and you have to, they have to review every second of this. They need more people, not less. And now you're going after retail crime. I've even noticed, I was watching a case last week and Dan Dow was in the courtroom. He's not just sitting in the office running the office. He's running around trying to get the case slowed down. They asked for more money. Bruce Gibson got pretty aggressive, said he was pandering. Bruce Gibson was angry. Bruce Gibson does not want him to have the money. But what Dan Dow said, you need to know there are mandates. And I do have the ability, as have others, to go after you and bring it out that you legally have to follow the mandates and fund this, and I could sue later. And basically said it's not a threat. Basically, it's a reality. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Eric today?
Well, hi. I assume you are talking about the District 2 supervisor race, and I want to add my two cents to who I'm supporting and why.
Yes, and then after the top of the hour, you can actually call in and vote someone off the island. After 1 o'clock, we're going to have a game. You get to pick one person running for office in a local election that you'd like to vote off the island. So okay, we'll be doing that after 1, but tell us who you do support now.
Okay, well, I'm supporting Michael Woody for District 2 supervisor. He's a grassroots candidate, for one, which I like a lot. And he's against the offshore wind boondoggle. And I think from every reason that I've heard, I've met the man several times, and I like his perspectives on things and on issues that are important to our valley. And I'm very disappointed that what was once a civil contest between two reasonable people has turned into a mudslinging situation started by Mr. Dantona. And also, I'm equally
explain
disturbed.
That, please. Please explain, because I don't think our readers know okay. about the. Are you talking about the mailer that brought things up from
yes.
8-10 years ago, and then
yes.
left out, took him out of context, and claimed that he was the
yes.
real Republican? First
yes.
of all, let me tell you, since 2019, Michael Aaron yep. Woody has been declined to state. Dantona
right.
is a Democrat, which
yeah.
But Michael Aaron Woody is not a Republican, and he put out a flyer
right.
saying that he was the real Republican.
Right, right. Now, listen, I have to tell you that my disappointment in that with what Mr. Dantona has done here has made me completely reassess. I've been a registered Democrat for 58 years. And I'm going to be changing my association to NPP next month. I'm just I can't hang with a party that's resorting to Trumpian political tactics to protect us from Trumpian political tactics. Makes no sense.
I moved
yes,
from Democrat to no political party based on the attacks that I was getting. You had, Adam Hill and Bruce Gibson, and they had a troll named Aaron
mm-hmm.
Oaks. And I was
yeah.
attacked. I was attacked after I found evidence of corruption on Adam Hill.
Yeah.
They went after me, and political insiders in the Democratic Party were part of it. I left the party over it. I found it to
yeah.
be dirty politics.
Yeah.
I'm a reporter. I found proof
right.
that they were taking bribes, and
yeah.
they had the machine come after me. It made
yep.
my reason also for leaving the party.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that, and I just think it's just very unfortunate that has happened. And I have to say, I was at the forum in Cayucos last Saturday, and what I witnessed was that Michael was civil and kept to his message, and he was a lot more civil to Mr. Dantona, frankly, than I would have been. he's really a class act.
I gotta take our top of the hour break. Will you call back in about 10 minutes and make a vote? And we'll be back. We'll do a vote them off the island, and everyone can pick who they want to vote off the island. Thank you for calling in.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.